Now, back to Brian Bushlack's business briefing on FM News 101 KXL.
It's 21 minutes past the hour here on a Sunday afternoon. Welcome back to the show as we continue our segment with Patrick Stone, our economic expert. He is the president and CEO of Williston Financial Group and WFG National Title. And Pat, before the break, I touched on this. Obama and class warfare, the Buffett rule, would taxing the rich make a difference in cutting the budget deficit? What's your take on this?
Well, I absolutely think it would, but not so much because of the dollars involved, but more because we're going to have some compromise and some give and take on both sides of the aisle. And, you know, I think that in order to get meaningful cuts in social programs and to get the political buy-in by the middle class or even the lower middle class, I don't know if I defined that very well, you're going to have to get people to believe that this is a universal issue, that this is really something everybody gets to participate in. And, you know, I'm going to tell you, Brian, I think you know this, I'm probably a little bit to right of center personally. But I do believe that the tax structure in this country is really at this point in time at a low in terms of taxing wealthy people. I mean, we are at about half the tax rate we were at in 1970 for high income earners, and we are lower than we have been all but one time in our history. So, you know, it's pretty hard to get people to say, okay, I'm going to give up this or cut this, if you're not going to do anything. So do we have class warfare? Yeah, it cuts both ways. I mean, we have ideological arguments on both sides of the aisle. And until we have some agreement, we're all going to do something. Nothing's going to get done. So would it make a difference? Yes, it'll make a difference because maybe it moves the needle. Does it make a difference financially? Not much.
Yeah. You know, that's what I appreciate about what you're saying too, because, you know, people tend to dig their heels in depending on where they're at in that socioeconomic structure and say, you know, they're not going to give up anything that they've got. But, you know, you see many of the wealthy people I talk to share the same sentiment, Pat, that, you know, hey, look, we've done well. And, you know, it's because we've got, you know, these depreciations and we've got this and that. What I do have a major issue with, and I want to get your take on this, is if I hear Warren Buffett use his secretary example one more time, I'm going to come out of my, I mean, we're talking about the difference between capital gains and, you know, ordinary income tax. And I'm finally seeing some people in the mainstream media pick up on that. I know it's catchy, but it's phony baloney. It's not true.
Well, I think, you know, the reality is, you know, the top 5 or 10% pay by far and away the majority of all taxes.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the truth. But we have a progressive tax system, and we have a country that has benefited from a progressive tax system. Does it get out of whack occasionally? Absolutely. But I think we're in a situation right now, in order to move the ball, we're all going to have to participate. And, you know, I think it's really short-sighted to think that we're going to have an ideological stance that says we're just going to cut government, because if we do that, the likelihood is that the conservatives will lose the next election, and I firmly believe that. I mean, I think we have to appeal to the masses and say we're all in it together. We're all going to participate. We're going to raise some taxes. We're going to cut some programs. We're going to get the ship, we're going to right the ship. You know, we'll see if that happens, but I certainly hope it does.
Patrick Stone's the president and CEO of Williston Financial Group and WFG National Title, joining us regularly as our economic expert here on Business Briefing. Let's turn our attention overseas to Europe and maybe a preview of things to come here in the United States of America if we don't make some changes. Now, we see what's happening in many of the European countries, and it's not pretty, Pat. You see what's going on in Greece right now. Suicides are up 40% over last year. I said in my tease to this segment, the odds of a Greek default, not if, but when. What do you see happening? How does this play out? And most importantly, what is the impact not only on Europe, but on those of us here in the U.S.?
Well, there's a couple things to talk about here, Brian. We're in a different situation in Europe in the sense that we recapitalized our banks. TARP and a couple of the other programs that the government enacted, maybe they were unpopular, maybe they weren't. But basically, we rebuilt our banks' balance sheets. Unfortunately, in Europe, about, I think there's I think the number is a little over 40 European banks that have over 60% of their of their book value in troubled sovereign debt. And so their balance sheets in the balance sheets in Europe on the banks are much worse than here in the U.S. Our banks are, if not healthy, well on the way to being healthy again. European banks aren't. So the idea of a sovereign default in Europe is a little bit scary because of what it will do to their banking systems. And we are in a global economy. So the banks, you know, I mean, the banks are sort of interdependent in a lot of ways. A lot of them participate in the U.S. A lot of U.S. banks participate there. So that's a little bit scary. You know, and I think it's scary also on a level of how it impacts our country because, you know, Europe accounts for about, I think, 22% of all our exports. You know, so it is a huge trading partner for the U.S. And then there's some numbers that were in the Wall Street Journal last week. 15 million jobs are linked to the transatlantic economy. You know, U.S. investment in Europe is three times what our investment is in all of Asia. You know, so, I mean, it's really... really very much it will very much impact us. Now, the odds of it happening are interesting. I think if Greece was not a part of the euro, it would be a heck of a lot easier to digest. But remember, this default would be significantly larger than the Russian or Argentinian default. Argentina defaulted, I think, in 2001, and it was around $80 billion. Russia defaulted in 1998. It was around $80 billion also. This is between $400 to $500 billion in Greece. So it would be a much, much larger problem. Will it happen? I think it will if they can figure out how to structure the default in a rational way so that there's some recovery, and if they simultaneously do something in Europe to help recapitalize the banks. I think it can be digested. It will be a hiccup. If they don't deal with it, it happens. Obviously, if they don't, I'm blithering here a little bit, but if they don't tee it up in such a way that it is a structured default and the banks are simultaneously recapitalized, then I worry a little bit. It could get ugly. And I made an allusion to that in the last segment that I'm optimistic about our economy continuing to grow, albeit at a slow rate. But if we have a... you know, if we have an unplanned for default in Europe, it could get a little difficult short term.
They'd have to sell a lot of chicken heroes to make up that deficit. Let's put it that way. Pat, great insight as always, and I appreciate you joining us. We're up against the bottom of the hour. Patrick Stone, our economic expert, the president and CEO of Williston Financial Group and WFG National Title. When we return, the coach, Mike Goss, with our business building segment up next.